Hey, hello, beautiful people.
Indeed, that is one of my biggest pleasure is always when I went to my own
farm. I think it is important to first understand what a healthy relationship with food is for us to know what it is not.
Not try.
I can relate. I can relate.
Selfish.
So no. You could be your own farmer pretty soon. Who knows?
Trust me when I tell you, there will always be challenges. There will always be risks.
Seems like we have a lot in common.
Welcome to the Let's Talk Agriculture podcast show.
And of course, it's your favorite girl, Sharonita Hosa.
Hello, beautiful people. Welcome to another episode of our technology series, where we explore the innovative solutions, trends, and advancements that are shaping the future of farming and agribusiness. This episode is brought to you by Let's Talk Agriculture, an industry-specific public relations and communications firm specializing in agriculture. So if you're an agriculture business looking to build your brand, establish thought leadership, host industry events, or train your employees on leadership, communication, and more, then quickly visit letstalkagriculture.com to get started. So in today's episode, we want to look at some of the strategies to increasing productivity of farmers. And we have the best person right here to share his insights with us. So friends, join me. Welcome Ibrahim Maigari, the CEO of Rise Africa, a remarkable player revolutionizing agriculture through technology. Thank you so much for joining the show today. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine, Sharon. Thank you.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you. Hopefully, I got your name correctly.
I mean, perfect. I was looking out for that, but you got it right. Yeah.
Thank you. So I would just really like to know a little bit more about you. I mean, I'm sure my audience would like to, you know, want to hear a little bit about you. I mean, I didn't give a really thorough introduction. So please tell us a little bit about you. What's your journey like in the agriculture industry?
So thank you once again, Sharon, for having me. I sincerely commend you for the beautiful work you're doing and spotlighting the activities of many players in the agricultural space. I think we need more. So yeah, my name is Ibrahim. I've been a lawyer for, this is my third decade as a lawyer, but my journey into technology started about, I've been involved in starting, managing, in co-founding of technology startups in Nigeria. Our journey in technology started with animal identification and management system. A couple of years in Africa, MTN launched a product called MTN Animal Identification System. That was a partnership with our company back then, identification and management system in sub-Saharan Africa in partnership with MTN. That's how I got into Agric, established Livestock 247. Livestock247.com is still there. It's Nigeria's premier livestock platform. And I was a CEO for about 5 years. Being with Livestock 247, mainstreaming the livestock sector through technology gave me a firsthand experience to see the convergence of technology and agriculture. So my experience at Livestock opened officially with Rise Africa that we started about 5 years ago, just before the COVID lockdown. And we launched Rise Africa as a platform to facilitate interactions among stakeholders in the smallholder farming community and wheat farmers. And that also, you know, it's typical of a startup. Become a mechanization service provider because we realized early that the biggest problem back then and smallholder farmers were facing was access to affordable. We veered a little bit and imported harvester machines, and we created a harvester hiring system around the country whereby we were giving farmers access. You know, smallholder farmers do not have the capacity to buy $50,000 or $40,000 machines. So we invested our own funds and we created a system whereby these farmers could hire. It became very interesting. We got noticed globally. The World Economic Forum in 2021 invited us into its Cyclas Accelerator program that we were admitted in 2022. For about 6 months, it prepared us. Our business model was really tweaked, and they advised us to look outside Nigeria being the biggest market. We never thought of, I mean, expanding out, but the World Economic Forum Circular Accelerator Program exposed us to understand that the problem about the sub-Saharan African problem. So that was what took us to expand late 2022 to Tanzania. And we started operations in Tanzania January 2023. By 2023, we also got an award at the LIP Technology Forum in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia, because by then we've noticed that mechanization is not the only big problem. There are also many challenges, which I'm sure we're going to talk about. And we developed the Farm Easy solution, which won the Technology for Humanity Award at the LIP Technology Conference in Riyadh in 2023. By late 2023, in October, we were also winners of the Driving Growth in Agriculture Through Technology Award at the Nigerian Innovation Summit. So this is, we're currently in about 5 countries. We're in Nigeria, Tanzania, we expanded to Rwanda this January, and we are also now present in Ghana through a partnership with an agri-tech company there, and also in Somaliland. So this is in brief our journey, and I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that. I mean, who would have thought that you are actually a lawyer by profession? It looks like we don't actually try to go into agriculture. I mean, we just find ourselves in the ag space. Because I've spoken to a whole lot of stakeholders in this space who actually didn't study agriculture, but at the end of the day, they found themselves here and now they love what they are doing. I mean, I really didn't think that you are actually a lawyer. Oh my God. I didn't think that. Yeah. It's really interesting. I mean, we are dragging them gradually.
Thank you.
We are dragging them gradually.
Yeah.
So tell me, why agri-technology?
Thank you.
What is your inspiration behind your involvement in the ag tech? I know you were sharing something already, but maybe you can just take it, dive into it a little bit more so we know what your inspiration is, why you got into agri-tech. I mean, you could have gotten into something different. I mean, we have other areas in agriculture. So just share why. So if you are able to share and people can listen to this episode, more youth can see good reasons why they can still venture into agri-tech, because we need them here as well.
Sure. Yeah, sure. So yeah, I've always been a solutions person, Sharon. I've always loved solving problems. And to me, technology is an enabler. When we started our journey technology-wise, I got to see the role technology plays in solving problems globally. In many instances, in a lot of countries. And in Africa, we have a lot of problems that are local to our needs. And I saw early, in that technology has a role to play in solving those problems. So, and it comes naturally because I'm a big fan of our continent. I'm a big fan of the potentials of our continent. And when I discovered that 65% of the uncultivated arable land of the world is in Africa, but we're still, importing food. We're still having severe hunger crisis. According to the UNFAO, almost 400 million people are facing severe hunger. 1 in 5 Africans goes to bed hungry. So these are the sort of things that inspires me as an African, as a person that has been in the technology space to solve problems technologically. And that's my inspiration. How do we now use technology as an enabler to make our people grow more food, to feed more people, and to solve problems of hunger? Because Sharon, whether we like it or not, if you're hungry, you won't be able to see the potentials in the world. So all this talk about the metaverse and of AI and whatever, you can conceptualize, you can create. There wouldn't be that much creativity if people are hungry. So solving the hunger, making people produce more food to solve hunger is the first. I think it should be our foundation to unleash the potential of our continent. And that's my inspiration. That is what I wake up every day thinking about doing. How do I make people, Africans, food secure? And that's my passion, and that's what has been pushing us to be where we are at the moment. And I think for a very long time it's going to be the same. Yeah.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts. I really agree with you on that. I mean, Africa has the capacity. We have All it takes to be food secure over there, we still import food, and it just baffles me. I mean, it's really disheartening. So if we can actually get technology connected with agriculture, that way I think we can get more young people to join the agriculture space, because you know, so many of them are still concerned about going to the farms, carrying tools and cutlasses. But if we can let them know that you can still rope in technology with agriculture, it'd be a lot more easier for them to come up with innovative solutions that can still play a major role.
Sure. I absolutely agree with you.
The nation.
Absolutely. And let me just chip in something here that you mentioned. I think I honestly agree with you that technology has a big role to play in terms of attracting the younger generation. You know, there's this perception that agri is for the old generation. It's muscle power. It's a tedious hoe and cutlass kind of situation that old people do in the villages. But I think technology now is attracting our younger ones, and they have a role to play, and it makes it, if I'm allowed to say this way, it makes agriculture look sexy, sort of. It makes it look cool.
And I
really like the fact that you highlighted that technology will attract them to make it. I mean, you could play in a lot of roles in the value chain, and by scaling affordable technology to the farmers, it's really an attraction to the younger generation. I agree.
Yes, it will interest you to know that during my, I mean, while interacting with some young people, many of them still struggle to know to see that there are some areas that you can blend with agriculture. For example, a lot of people question me while I was training some young people in India and some other African countries as well. So they were like, I never knew that agriculture and public relations can really coexist. So they just still believe that the farm, when you hear agriculture, you're talking about farming. When you're talking about going, carrying hoes and cutlasses. So not so many enlightened about what can really go with
agribusiness.
And agriculture can really just blend with a whole lot of areas as well. So I think now this message about agri-technology would really help them to see that, yes, they can get involved regardless of whatever it is they studied. I just feel opens more opportunities. I mean, so creating awareness like this is really amazing. And I'm glad that you are also at the forefront.
And you guys are doing a great job. Like you rightly said, I mean, this is a whole industry. People have always been eating, and people will continue to be eating as long as we survive as a race, as a human race on this world, on this earth. People will always be eating, and agriculture is the gateway for production of what we consume. So I mean, this is the oldest industry, and it's going to be the last one standing, I believe so, because as we journey to the day of judgment, definitely people will pick up something to eat on the way before we get there. So yeah.
We definitely eat. We all have a role to play. So the earlier we start getting involved, the better for everybody. So there's no role left for just one person. Everybody has a role to play. So well, I understand that your company developed an operating system to enhance productivity and efficiency of small-scale farmers' operations. So can you shed more light on this?
Yeah, so that was what I was saying. You know, when we started, we veered off early as a mechanization service platform. But in the course of our journey, I mean, working with smallholder farmers for the past 4 years now, we discovered that there are also some fundamental touch points, pain points rather, to be solved. And this came as a result of various research and brainstorming sessions in partnership with the World Economic Forum, the Villas Institute in Switzerland. You know, if you do a Google search, for instance, why is Africa hungry? You see a lot of reasons, from the COVID-19 pandemic to the Russian-Ukraine war that disrupted the global supply chain of fertilizer, to environmental issues, insecurity, you know, and a whole lot. So we did a deep dive, you know, through system thinking with our partners, And these are genuine reasons that I've mentioned, but we call them externalities, because if there was no COVID, for instance, would a farmer in northwestern Nigeria, let's say in Kaduna State, if a maize farmer in Kaduna State, would that farmer be producing 10 tons of maize per hectare? No. If there was no Russian crisis, if there was no insecurity, if there have been, let's assume all those problems that I mentioned, environmental, security, are all non-existent, would that farmer be able to produce at par, which is counterpart, let's say, just close by here in Africa, let's say Zimbabwe or Zambia? A farmer in Zambia does about 10 tons, 9 to 10 tons per hectare for maize, while our farmers in Nigeria till date, I don't think we're up to the capacity of, at best, you do 3 tons. So we realize that the problem is not of externalities, but it's of internalities. It zeroes down to under productivity of our smallholder farmers. That's the principal reason why Africa is still hungry. So, and when we deep dive into why do our smallholder farmers underproduce, we came to discover these 7 fundamental touch points that I'm going to talk to you about, which is the basis of our coming up with our Farm Easy operating system. The first one is access to land preparation equipment. And this goes down to not only preparing land, but testing the land, leveling the land, knowing whether this land is suitable for rice or maize or cashew or cassava or whatever. And having a very good data-centric approach to land preparation. That's number one. Most of our farmers prepare land manually. And we also discovered that in the process of preparing land manually, the person that prepares land mechanically produces 50% more food than the one that does prepare land manually. And if you prepare land mechanically, you tend to use less seeds, less chemicals, less water, which also advances the circular economy. It makes it sustainable. It makes it climate smart to that extent. Just by land preparation, you get to produce 50% more food. That's number one. Number two, we also discovered that over 80% of our farmers plant grains, not seeds. There's a whole world of difference between planting grains and seeds. If you are in the village, you see that farmers, after harvesting, they will keep their produce, their grains, as seeds for next year's season. This is not the practice. It's not the best practice, because as you plant grains, your yield will be dropping. We may not have time to go into the science of seed production, but it's worthy to note that is a very big touch point that we discovered, that providing access to these farmers will make them produce more. Number three is access to quality chemicals. Over 72% of the chemicals that farmers use, smallholder farmers use, are fake, adulterated, low quality at best. So, and the relationship between weeds and crops, when you plant, weeds compete with your crop for nutrients. And if you don't have the chemicals to kill those weeds off, they will zap the nutrients that your crop requires to yield more. That's number three. Number four is on-time delivery of affordable soil and crop-specific fertilizer. This is something that it's non-existent. Our farmers, with all the government intervention program, if at best they get fertilizer, they get fertilizer out of season when they don't need fertilizer. For instance, right now farmers are preparing land between April to May. If you don't give them inputs, including fertilizer, and if it's for rain season farming, you're just wasting your time. By the time you get to the farmers, sometimes it's around July or August, and they are out of season already. So on-time delivery of fertilizer, not just any type of fertilizer, soil-specific and crop-specific fertilizer. Why do I mean by soil-specific? The fertilizer that you're supposed to give in Sokoto is not supposed to be the fertilizer you're supposed to use in Calabar or in Maiduguri or in Enugu, because of the soil nature of that. That's why in the beginning I talked to you about soil testing. And most of our blending plants just do anyhow, and they just blend anyhow and they distribute anyhow. So lack of soil-specific and crop-specific fertilization is also a very big problem for our farmers. And number five is best agronomic practices. All this discussion that we're having is based on experts that have researched, and that, in Africa, most of Sub-Saharan Africa, our smallholder farmers do not have access to extension workers. Nobody tells them what to do. They've been using inherited knowledge from their forefathers. 100, 200 years old technology of farming. That's what they're using. So if they don't have access to good, best agronomic practices, how do you expect them to know when to apply fertilizer, where to apply fertilizer, the type of fertilizers they need, where are they going to do their cropping and all those things? So knowledge is key. That's number five. Number seven is mechanized harvesting. And unfortunately, that's what we've been doing. And it's number is the sixth touch point. That the farm easy operating system is meant to address. If you give these smallholder farmers from number one to number five, and then you allow them to harvest manually, the waste that we encounter is massive. Let me give you an instance. A rice farm, 1 acre of a rice farm takes about 30 people to work manually over 24 hours to harvest 1 acre. And the best they can get is about 24 bags of paddy. That same 1 acre, if you come up with a small harvester machine, it will take you 30 minutes to harvest 1 acre. The calculations that we've done based on our analysis, 1 hectare of a rice farm harvested manually, you tend to lose about 2.8 metric tons of grains. So that's why in the last 3 years, our company in two countries, we've harvested a little bit about 5,700 hectares, and we've saved over 60 million kilograms of grain so far. So you could see harvesting, mechanical harvesting is a big, 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 big contributor to food production if we are serious about improving our food system. And of course, the last one, which is the seventh one, is access to a structured market. Most of our farmers go to farm without any data. They just go and farm because they're doing subsistence farming. They just go and plant whatever it's raining. For instance, if this year soya is scarce and the price has gone up, next year everybody will go into soya without any market research. And then without knowing that, the price of soya would crash because there will be glut of soya in the market. And then they will tell you that, okay, soya has crashed, it is maize that's expensive, it's lucrative this year. The coming year, all of them will go into maize and the same thing will happen. So there's no structured market or what would say a guaranteed offtake that requires their produce. For instance, in developed countries, if Sharon is a farmer, you produce maize, a company will approach you right before you even cultivate that they need to offtake these tons of grains from you. So you go to the market, you go to farm with data, you go to farm with an intention that, okay, this is what I'm going to produce before. Some of them even pay you before you even plant. So these seven fundamental touch points is what the Farm Easy operating system that our company designed to solve. It is a technological stack that has three components. Now I'm talking about the Farm Easy operating system. I've given you the background that led us to develop the system. So the Farm Easy operating system is a technological infrastructure that it's not meant to be used by the farmer. Anyway, it is directed at farm agri companies, developmental agencies that are working in the agri space, big corporate farmers, government agencies. As long as you are working with smallholder farmers, the Farm Easy operating system is tailor-made for you. The farmer is a beneficiary because we know in Africa, most of our smallholder farmers are not tech savvy. They don't have smartphones. We don't want to bore them that they should migrate. They should become technologically savvy before like I said, technology is an enabler. So we designed the Farm Easy, we developed the Farm Easy operating system to bring the enabling contribution to their system. It is divided into three components. You have all the things that I mentioned to you. There's what we call the optimization manual that anybody that have access to the operating system will access the importance of all the seven touch points. And then there's the optimization software, which is comprises of a dashboard and a mobile app that helps you to monitor, to measure your farm, to create farm IDs, to do a whole lot of things. And of course, there's also the Farm Easy GPS, which is an agri equipment tracking service that works. It's tailor-made for Africa, that works even in places without internet or cellular network. So this is basically what the Farm Easy operating system is all about. And it was what won us the award that I was mentioning in Saudi in 2023, the Technology for Humanity Award. It's what our company has been using internally for the past 3 years, but we decided in 2024 to open it up. We cannot do this thing alone. And we've commercialized it now, and people that anybody that is in the agri space that is working with smallholder farmers can subscribe to the Farm Easy operating system and use. It's basically an optimization tool. It's made to optimize the productivity of farmers in Africa so that we can produce more food to feed our continent.
Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, that is really detailed, and I believe that it's going to play a major role for our farmers. In one of my episodes on sustainability, I spoke to the MD of Soltree International, where she mentioned the intense labor that they have to go through because of the mechanization and stuff, not enough mechanization, so they have to employ so much labor. Now, if they can actually, in terms of harvesting their cassava, so you know when it's dry season, it's very hard for them to dig out the cassava. So because she's into the cassava and the rest. So now, does this technology actually help to solve that kind of problem? I'm just trying to get it, because what we were trying to do as a solution was to see how to put out a competition that can allow young people to develop such things that can play a major role in helping them to, you know, harvest. So because we're trying to that people.
I've seen a lot of videos of cassava harvesting, and it's quite tedious. I mean, you could say that 1,000 times. It's a very labor-intensive stuff. So the whole point of the Farm Easy operating system is to provide access using technology, right? It's like a platform that brings smallholder farmers or operators with smallholder farmers to the various platforms that I mentioned. For instance, if they subscribe to this of service, will help them in terms of tractorization in land preparation and soil testing and stuff. And at the same time, towards the end of the season, you know, land preparation is the gateway, is the beginning. Harvesting is the ending. At the same time, towards the end of the season, what we currently do, we are not into harvesting cassava yet. We do a lot of rice, wheat, and maize harvesting because the technology is existing. But we've seen better ways, semi automated ways of harvesting cassava, and we're also working on that, and it's all about bringing access, helping them to know that there's a technology that exists, even if we cannot provide it as a company. That's the whole point of the Farm Easy operating system, is to give them access to where they could get those services. And I'm telling you, we've researched on that, we've seen a semi-automated way of harvesting cassava that's much, much more faster than what they're doing currently. Yeah, we could be of help to them, not like we are doing to rice or wheat farmers, because rice and wheat are of different demand. It's just cut, trash, clean, and back. Then cassava, it's about uprooting it, digging it into the soil and stretching it out. It's a little bit tedious, but I can assure you it's doable. It's doable.
Well, definitely, I will see how to make the connection. So maybe to explore partnership in that regard. Hopefully, to work a lot more easier. But just briefly, as we round up, in what ways do you see technology transforming the future of agriculture on the continent, particularly improving food security and sustainability?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of technology in Africa, and I see it as a game changer. I always tell the younger ones that we need to develop and customize our technological solutions to fit our continent. I've seen a lot of what we call Bluetooth agri-tech companies that sit down in the confines of their offices in big cities and come up with solutions that are not tailor-made for our smallholder farmers. I would advise them to move a little bit closer, to have granular details of what they're doing. So whatever we're going to do in terms of technology, it should be customizable, it should be affordable, and it's a big game changer. It's a game changer. It could solve, like this thing that you have, the cassava harvesting that you just mentioned. And we produce a lot of cassava, and as long as we want to improve their productivity, we have to solve this issue of harvesting cassava. So technology is a big player in the agri space in Africa, and I believe as long as we get it right, it's going to change the food of our continent.
Thank you so much for sharing your thoughts on that. I really appreciate what you're doing in this space, and I hope that we can drag in more young people to get involved in agriculture and technology. So we have come to the end of today's episode. I really hope that you enjoy it. I hope that you learned something from this episode, because this is home for agriculture. Build, learn, and collaborate. So thank you so much once again for joining this show. I'm looking forward to another.
Thank you for having me, Sharon. Anytime.
It's a pleasure to have you here. So, guys, we have come to the end once again. I'm looking forward to it. Looking forward to it myself. Thank you so much once again. Do well to subscribe to this podcast. Let's Talk Agriculture. We're on Spotify, we're on Apple, we're on Google, Deezer, Alexa, I think, yeah. So yes, we are very much available on all platforms. And of course, you can find our episodes directly on our website. So do well to check it out, subscribe, and let me know what you think. If you have a particular topic in mind, please do well to reach out to us. Cheers.